up some birthdays and anniversaries. With this crowd here, we ought to have at least one.
Ours is tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, but it's still tomorrow.
Tomorrow!
Anybody else? Anniversary? Birthdays? Anniversary? Okay, I guess we're doing anniversary. Anniversary?
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you.
Many, many more.
Prayers? Praises?
I've got a couple of prayers.
Prayers?
You want me to stand up?
Sure. I'll give you the mic.
I think everybody can probably hear me. Okay, Bill just said you could have heard me last night. The printer went bad, so we only had 6 bulletins, and probably 18 half bulletins, but they did you no good. So anyway, there won't be any bulletin next week, maybe the next week, depending on what time I get back on that Saturday.
You going on strike?
I'm going on strike. No, I'm going to the beach with all them kids.
Which beach?
I don't know.
Help and dress.
Outer Banks. Oh, clear down, way down there. I don't know.
Okay,
need prayers because I'm going to drive, but I'm taking 2 days. The rest of them are going in 1 day, but if I drive, I'm taking 2. So, I put Logan on the prayer list. Mm-hmm. He got a rash on the back of his ear, and they've done a knot, and so they put him on an antibiotic and told him to watch it, because if it gets worse instead of better, they'll have to go to the ER and get an IV antibiotic. Yeah. But, yeah. So far, it's looking a little, well, Bill said it hadn't changed much. Okay. Also put a little girl named, by the name of Emma Grace, and this week, the judge is supposed to decide who gets to keep her permanently, and I'm hoping for another granddaughter. So, Bill and Marcia are trying to get her, and it's been a struggle they have fought for, and so... Anyway, this week we're praying that God will lead the judge in whatever's right. It's in his hands. Okay?
Okay. Anything else?
Yes, I did.
Pardon me, Mike. You're going to have to run
that. That's all.
Sit down and get tired.
I have a really serious prayer request that I'd like your interest in. Thursday night, my niece, and some of you may know her, Susanna Taylor Ray came out to visit us, and she lived in the house that you can see here at the bottom of the hill all most of her life, you know, so we were next door neighbors for many years. Susanna has come down with cancer, and it's pretty serious. They've already started chemo, her first dose, and she has ovarian cancer plus a large growth inside of her stomach. And so she has to have chemo treatments every 3 weeks until the end of October, when they'll be doing a surgery on her, complete hysterectomy, and remove that tumor. So, you know, we're all kind of rocked by it. She's been a very healthy girl. And this, I wanted to mention this, and I'm not sure it's the right thing to do, but, you know, her parents had 3 children, and they adopted one grandson. And Susetta has been the only one of the 3 that has really turned out to be a wonderful person. And some of the others, you know, have really wasted their life on drugs and alcohol and all that. It's one of those times when you think, how come her, God? You know, so, but anyway, you know, on the other hand, it might be a good time to say, what about the rest of those you know, I need to be praying more for them and because they need it so desperately. But anyway, if you pray for Susetta Ray, I would really, really appreciate it. And also, John goes back to the doctor tomorrow to see his surgeon, and we're not expecting anything to be unusual there, you know, just a follow-up to his latest surgery. So if you pray for that, though, we'll be there in the afternoon. And one more, John's brother, Curtis, who is 81 maybe, is having a pacemaker put in tomorrow at noontime. So if you pray for him as well, we'd really appreciate that. Thank you much.
I'd like for you to remember me in prayer. I have CAT scan again Tuesday, and I'd just like for you to remember me in your prayers. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Really?
Yes.
Carol Martin.
Carol Martin?
Yeah, just say. She just needs a lot of prayer.
Carol Martin lives in the area, and she called last night, and she just asked for prayer. I mean, she's a survivor, but if you know Carol.
Yeah.
But she relies on God. She's a believer, so she's sick right now. And, okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Claude, can I get you to lead some prayer, please?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace and mercy today. We pray that you'll touch and bless each and every one of us here today with a special touch and blessing. Pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell with this little church, will lead, guide, and direct. And we pray for the speaker today. We pray that the words of wisdom were placed upon his lips of clay, that we'll be able to guidance if someone lost or straying along the straight and narrow. We lift up all our prayer chain for a special touch and blessing. We pray that for the ones that you have touched, just praise and thank you for the blessings and promises of peace, comfort, and healing in all situations. We lift up all of our congregation that hasn't returned. We see some here today that I haven't seen for quite a while. We just praise and thank you for that, and we pray that more will come back and enjoy the services, and just praise and thank you. We lift up our country. We urgently pray that you'll touch and heal this terrible divide of evil hatred that we have in our country, and we'll see a return to the principles it was founded upon. We lift up the ones who are fighting for freedoms all over the world. Pray that they will have a hedge of protection around each and every one. They will come safely home to their loved ones. Pray for all that are being affected by catastrophes of any kind, especially the ones in Ukraine that are being, many innocent people are being killed and maimed. And we pray for a solution there soon, dear Lord. We lift up all the Christians. We pray that they will hold fast to their beliefs, that they're being persecuted, killed, and forced from their homelands in many cases. We just praise and thank you for every blessing and promise. We praise and thank you for such a beautiful day, the fresh air, the sunshine, lack of storms, and be with the ones that are being affected by any kind of catastrophes. But most of all, we pray when they are being affected by these things that they will turn to you if they don't know you as their personal Savior. Again, we just praise and thank you for every blessing and promise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Claude.
46.
Page 46.
Mercy.
there somewhere. There we go.
I will.
Let's see, a couple things here. The reason we opened up this week under the pavilion, it's not done. You know, done is a relative term. But one thing we wanted to do is to involve everyone who wanted to give some input. What do you see that you would like to have different or in addition to, and so forth? We'll have lights here. We'll have water over there. But what do you think? So, you know, we're open to some suggestions there on that. Also, this is a trial run. Jan has played that machine probably 10 minutes before this morning. And she's doing a wonderful job.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give her a big hand.
I was going to ask her if she felt like she was on display today.
Yeah.
I know how she is.
But there are many folks that have spent hours out here. We contracted the concrete pour, and we contracted the metal roof for the metal. And a bunch of old guys and gals did the rest. And so I'm not going to name names because I'll forget somebody.
They all need our appreciation.
But who really needs our appreciation is the Lord.
Amen.
He provided all the funding. It's all paid for. He's the one that made it us able to have it. So we want to thank him over and over again. We pray that as we spend our time out here, we will bring glory to him.
Amen.
Now, as for this song, you may remember this song. We had it here a few weeks ago. I think that means Becky had handed out the words. You don't know yet, do you? Okay, I got you. Okay, she handed out the words for this, and she said, "Wouldn't it be great if the girls would sing?" So I got a text this morning. I'm not sure what time it was. I don't know what time it was. But anyway, the girls texted and said they would like to sing it. So, the name of the song is?
Here I Am, Lord.
Here I Am, Lord. Okay.
Lauren, you
make
it
clear? Yeah, that would be a blow it away.
Take your time, get set up. Yeah, we're in no hurry. I'm going to go and preach 9:30.
Other time
we
sit outside at sport, so this is...
I have heard my people.
I might say something on that.
All right.
That was my mother's favorite song. And growing up, I became a Christian before my mother. And she said, when I get good enough, I'll get saved. And I kept trying to tell her, no, Mom, you can't do that. You're never going to be good enough. And so this song, well, she had to go to church because she didn't have any other thing to do, and I made her go to church with me. So anyway, this song helped her along the way, and we sang it at her funeral. So it was very special.
All right, welcome everyone. Our scripture, let's see, gotta get Larry the Bible. Where is Larry? Here. Larry's going to read our scripture for today, 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Switch
here. I'm not sure how you get it on, right?
Oh. Man, poor guy right there.
So the men of Kirath, to Rim, came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, and they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And the Israelites heard of it. They were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, and that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord of Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. When Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's life, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Garth and the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines, and there was peace before Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. And bless these words.
Thank you, Larry. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we have so much going on here this morning, and we have so much to thank you for. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst, and that He will anoint my lips. And we pray that anything that's learned here this morning that's benefiting to our communion with you, we want to give God all the praise and glory for it. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Leadership is very important. And it was particularly important in our scripture today. And back in chapter 3, verse 1, the writer says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Go ahead and turn that mic off, Larry.
I thought I did.
Okay, maybe it's me.
Yeah, I did, Mike.
Okay. The calling of Samuel in chapter 3 was actually sort of praise one, or phase one, of God solving this leadership problem. Over in the same chapter, starting in verse 19, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Bathsheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." So Samuel's going to be phase one of this establishing leadership. Now phase two will begin here down the line in chapter 9 when Saul is anointed first king. And then later in chapter 16 comes Daniel. And we know that David, in chapter 16, was the man after God's own heart. So then, of course, the ultimate leadership is going to be found in the one that all this history points to, namely the Lord Jesus. Chapter 6, if you'll remember last week, ended with disrespect of the inhabitants of Bel-Shemesh, when God took out 70 Israelites who looked into the tomb, looked into the ark. What happened to that 20 years? It says in our scripture there this morning that the ark was on a hill. Interesting, isn't it, how things are explained in the scripture. On a hill. Abimadad's house for 20 years. So it's interesting for us to wonder what happened in that 20 years. I think what we can conclude, although it doesn't say specifically, that the people of Israel walked away from the Lord. Because in verse 3 of our scripture here, "So Samuel said to all the Israelites, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods,'" and so forth. So in that 20 years, they had turned away from the Lord. Well, we might say, that sure didn't take long, did it? Now we're all serving the Lord. We're all in a good place. And only in a period of 20 years, they turned away from the Lord. Now, this happened over and over again, didn't it, in the scripture? We think of Moses, who went up on the mountain to get the law. It only took 40 days for those folks to abandon the Lord, didn't it? And build their golden calf. To build their golden calf. Chapter 7 is all about Samuel, prophet, priest, and judge, and about him leading the Israelites back to God. Remember the words Samuel spoke were given to him by God. He was a prophet. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 7. Verse 16-18. Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth." These prophets spoke for God. And it's time now for Samuel to lead his people back to God. And he does this by a pattern that is prevalent in Scripture over and over again. The steps are always the same. First, repentance, then prayer, and then growth. That's what we want to look at this morning. Repentance, prayer, and growth.
Amen.
First of all, there must be mourning for sin and seeking after the Lord for repentance to happen. You're sorry for your sin because the way it has affected your relationship with God. That's why you should be mournful. Next, there must be a putting aside of rivals to God in your life. Notice in verse 3. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only." So they needed to put aside all that was separating them from God, had gotten in between them and God.
Amen.
The appeal of the foreign gods was repeated again and again through Israel's history. These foreign gods offered them a chance to combine sexual indulgence with religious devotion. Corruption at the level of human sexuality. Now that was the 10th century before Christ. Now here we are in the 22nd century after Christ. And isn't the evangelical community still asking the same questions?
Amen.
Is it okay to do this? Is it all right to tolerate that? Homosexuality, transgender issues, sexual immorality in the leadership of our churches. The issues are still the same all these years later. The activities the Israelites were seduced to engage in were entirely incompatible with the law of God. Remember the law, the commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Which part of that is confusing today? What Samuel is saying echoes what Joshua said in chapter 24.
I love this. I love this. In fact, I have part of it on my mantle at home, on the plate. Joshua, the one that led them into the promised land. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Made a choice. A choice is called for. Now, what are the rivals to God in our lives? Could it be another person? Could it always be, could it also be a goal we're pursuing? Could it be money or anger or pride? Could it be the use of our time? What's standing between us and God? Now, before we can return to God, we must identify our idols and put them aside. True repentance means committing ourselves to serving God only.
Amen.
You see, repentance is not only turning away from sin, but it's turning towards God. That's step number one, repentance. The next step, I think, we find in these scriptures in bringing the people back to the Lord was prayer. And I think we find that in verses 5 through 11, one way or another. We need to talk to God about it. And this overlaps with the first step of repentance. It's part of repentance. Here we find two aspects of prayer that I think are important for returning to God. The first one is to ask for prayer from other believers. That's what happens in verse 5. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel in Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." He was interceding. He was praying for the Israelites. We need to help. We need the help of other believers. We can't make it on our own. When we walk away from God, we become spiritually weak. Of course, this requires humility on our parts. That is God. That is why God has chosen to give us each other. We aren't meant to live the Christian life in isolation. The second thing I think we need to look at here in the aspects of prayer is that we are to trust God to deliver us by His grace. By His grace. Let me read verses 7 through 9. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Once again, he prayed on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. If you have ever walked away from God, you can be assured that there will be problems in your life.
Amen.
That is because He disciplines those He loves. And when we walk away from him, he punishes us to come back to him, to return to him. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on here, just briefly, was this sacrifice that was made. The suckling lamb. Remember, when we see an animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, that is a signal for us to think about Jesus. They are a reminder to us about God's grace. The only access to God is through the shedding of blood. In order to fulfill the cry of the people to pray for them because of the imminent danger here through the Philistines, he comes to God in a way that he must. And in a way we must.
Amen.
When we read the Old Testament, and in the New Testament even, in the book of Hebrews, this principle is reinforced over and over again. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of the eternal covenant, let us then pray. In other words, Samuel is picturing, that here with the sacrifice of the suckling lamb. By this, he causes the people to look forward. Now, you might be reading this scripture to your children or your grandchildren, and they might ask you, why was the suckling lamb killed? Was it a bad lamb? No, honey, it was a good lamb. In fact, it was the best lamb that Samuel could find. But doesn't it say that he killed the lamb? Yes. And that it was burned up in a sacrifice? Yes. Why? Because Samuel was saying to the people, what I'm doing to this lamb right now is what I'm doing, is what I should be happening to you.
Amen.
The punishment that you deserve is now falling upon this innocent lamb. The lamb is a substitute. Now, we have the benefit of reading this in the context of the whole Scripture, all the Bible, in the fulfillment of this picture or sacrifice. These Old Testament saints will join us someday in heaven. Not because of the specific sacrifices that they made, but in light of what Christ would achieve. Their trust is grounded in anticipation of what Jesus, the Lamb of God, would accomplish on the cross. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was chosen before the foundation of the world and slain before the foundation of the world. Now, in the Lamb sacrificed, Samuel had spoken God's word to them, and they trusted it. Samuel had prayed for them, and they trusted him. Samuel had offered a sacrifice, and they trusted in the sacrifice. Now, allow those thoughts forward. Jesus also speaks the word of God to us. And we trust him. Jesus intercedes for us in prayer, and we trust him. And Jesus offers up the sacrifice of himself, and we trust in him.
Amen.
So repentance, prayer, and growth. And I think growth comes in the verses 12 through 17. Someone has once said, returning to the Lord means returning to the process of growth as a Christian. It means you are resuming your journey, not arriving at your destination. It's a lifelong process, isn't it? One of the most important things we can do is to keep going and remain motivated. And the best way to do that is to set up markers of progress, we'll call them. Markers of progress. For example, if God speaks to you through a verse in the Bible, write the date down right in the Bible. I don't know how many Bibles I've thrown away. I like to write in mine, don't you? If God answers a prayer for you, write it down, perhaps in a prayer journal. Everyone needs a journal, along with other material that will keep you motivated. For example, this quote by John Newton is worth writing down. I'm not the man I ought to be. I'm not the man I wish to be. And I'm not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not the man I used to be.
Amen.
As was the occasion often in the Old Testament when a great miracle took place, that took place in our scripture here this morning. A monument was set up so people would not forget. A monument, a memorial to highlight the living God. Ebenezer means stone of help, or he is their help. I can't leave this song alone. The writer of this hymn Robert Robinson, never heard of the gentleman, but I thank him for the hymn. Let me read verse 2 to you. And he was inspired by reading these very verses. Listen to the words. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger. Catch that? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood.
Amen.
It's all about his blood, isn't it? Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. And you who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Samuel was saying, we're going to put up a monument right here, and everyone who passes by Ebenezer will know without a shadow of a doubt what happened here. You know, Ebenezer had earlier been, in chapters 4 and 5, a place of defeat, a place of sin, and a place of sorrow. But now it has become for them a place of repentance and victory. What does that mean to us? Applicationally, it's a reminder that God is able to take all of those past disappointments, all of the failures, all the sins, on this sins, and say to us, we're going to put up a new marker right on this very spot. So you will be able to say that God has done this for you. God has helped us, hasn't he?
Amen.
Now in closing, Samuel had just led Israel through a dramatic time, we would have to say, in these scriptures. This must have been a mountaintop experience for him. But what God had for him next was the daily humdrum, daily routine of judging Israel. Day after day after day, he made the circuit. Year after year, Samuel went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal and Mizpah, judging the people. Mountaintop experiences are great, but we seldom live on the mountain. We usually live in the valley.
Amen.
It's one thing to serve God in the dramatic moments of life. It's another thing to serve Him day by day in the daily routine of life. But that's what we're called to do, while doing everything for God's glory. It's not always glamorous or even exciting to grow as a Christian. But we would have to admit it's worth it. It's the only thing that makes life worthwhile. And it is what God has called us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for here this morning. We thank you for your word, first of all. We thank you for Brother Samuel that led the Israelites back to you when given the opportunity. We thank you for all of our blessings. You've been so kind to this church and this church family. We lift those up in prayer that are in need this morning. We thank you that you allow us to experience your goodness and your love and your grace. And we pray, Lord, in our walk as Christians, I pray that as the cart that was pulled by two cows last week, I pray that we can walk our walk, not turning to the left or to the right, but keeping our eyes on your Son, Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
348.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from his lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and he bids you to come meet him there. Since to bow and receive a new blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.